Welcome to Journals of the Willing from the Tumbling Saber team, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Take your first step into a larger world by checking out the network on the web at starwarscommonwealth.com, on Facebook, iTunes, and Twitter. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Journals of the Willing, our twice monthly look at Star Wars on the printed page. My name is Kyle.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Rob.
Rob from the Roman Pod and Cast and the Talk Star Wars family is back once again. We've never done this. We've never had three misfits from the Commonwealth on the same Journals of the Willing. So I'm really looking forward to this, and we've actually never really spoken about the comics outside of just the odd news snippet. So, Rob, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's a great pleasure. You messaged me earlier this week, and you're mentioning, hey, we're stepping away from the novels for a week, and we're looking at the comics. Do you want to pop on? And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like Steven and I have, we had our schedule planned out like weeks in advance. We had like 4 weeks or four shows planned, and I think on Wednesday or Tuesday of this week just turned to each other, dude, there's no way I'm gonna be finished Empire's End. I'm about a quarter of the way through. Oh yeah, me too. No. Forget it. Okay, let's just flip the schedule here.
Well, it's awesome what you guys are doing, and I'm envious of how you've been able to keep up with your recording schedule. Like, that's, you guys are pounding them out pretty quick. Like, That's and, you know, and again, Star Wars can be light reading and it's fictional. And I know when I pick up a Star Wars novel, it's almost a nice escape because there's not a lot of effort, because I know who 90% of the characters look like. I know what they sound like. There's not a lot of imagination going on. You're just, okay, here's the universe, here are the characters, and go, you know, like, so it's a faster read, but you guys are still knocking them out pretty quick.
Well, go ahead, Steve.
No, say a lot of these I think we had read in the past. So what we try to do is kind of mix it up a little bit. There'll be a book that we're about to read, or a book that maybe we read that came out a while ago. So it's just kind of how we balance it.
And we've also given ourselves the leeway to talk about sort of the reference books, the coffee table books, if you will. So now and then we mix a couple of those in as well, just to buy ourselves extra time, because reading is such a task for me. It's brutal. I read like 20 pages at a time, so a novel takes me a month.
It's tough.
So are you going to be racing Corey for some calamari next year for episode 8? Or
I don't make bets that I don't know that I'll win.
Yeah.
So if I don't think I'll win, I don't do the bet.
That's not gambling then.
Nope.
If there's no gamble.
Exactly.
Hey, Rob, have you gotten into any of the audiobooks by chance? Because I've actually started doing that. To keep up with,
yes,
some of it.
I've actually just pretty recently got the Ahsoka audiobook. I know that's a light read. I have the ability at work to wear an earbud, and that's how I consume 90% of the podcasts I listen to. So it's hard actually with so many awesome podcasts, especially with this network here, with the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. There's so many great shows. It takes a lot to knock something out of my listening rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get caught up on the podcast, I always got a few chapters to listen to. Or again, if you're on the treadmill or something, you get Ahsoka chirping in your ear. I got through, what was the other one? Oh, I think we went over this before, Kyle, with the Palpatine Invader, one of the first new books that came out.
Lords of the Sith?
Lords of the Sith. There we go. Yeah, I finished that one. That was pretty decent. It wasn't, I mean, one of my favorites, but because I've been reading all the other legends for a long time, but it was okay. I think it was it got into more action heavy for me for a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like that would be fantastic. Aside from the gratuitous violence, it'd be a fantastic animated thing, maybe, or, you know, maybe it's just the way it came off. I'm not sure. But like you said, but as far as the audiobooks go, the Ahsoka one is the one on on tape right now for me.
I mean, that's a good one to go because you have Ashley reading it.
Yes.
So, because I think Ahsoka was the last one we did for journals. And I was saying how awesome it was to hear the actual voice of Ahsoka read for Ahsoka. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a very slick move from them. Like, out of the blue, I didn't expect them to do that. Cause that's never done as far as I know.
Well, it makes sense. I know I don't want to step out of universe here, but I know, you know, the Shatnerverse for Star Trek. Bill Shatner got together with the Reeves couple, and he wrote like 8 or 9 novels, for Star Trek novels. He wrote himself back in the Star Trek with the Next Generation. Well, yeah, he wrote it. The first one was Ashes to Eden, and this is one where he's with the old crew, and it's one last thing, and he ends up getting the girl and making love on the beach for 4 hours at a time, even though he's 70. But, you know, it's obviously he wrote it. It was pretty intuitive.
Like Bill Shatner meets Twilight.
Exactly, yeah. And then the next book is like, it's Star Trek The Return, and it's after he dies in the Star Trek universe. But anyway, so he, on those audiobooks, he reads them all. So it's okay. Kind of that's a very, very, very strange thing to have the author read the book, but it was co-authored by Bill Shatner. It's odd.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
anyway, this isn't a Star Trek thing, but it wasn't as same as Ashley's reading Ahsoka, because that's the character.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And now you got somebody that's his writing was very misogynistic. It was very there was no hubris in there. It was all, hey, this Captain Kirk is the greatest thing, and oh, I happen to play him, and I'm gonna write 9 novels about how awesome he is. And I listen to him also.
Well, that reminds me, Doctor Who as well. Not audio books, but they do the audio dramas for the show, and then they'll cast the actors to play them in the audio drama. So not quite the same, but in the same vein, in a way.
Yeah. But it would be almost like the Doctor, whoever's playing the Doctor at the time, writing the audio drama about how amazing the Doctor
is. Right, I mean, that
and then, I'll read it. Anyway, sorry, we're grabbing this tumbling saber.
Oh, we're infamous for tangents, if anything, so. You have heard the show before, right? You've seen how Corey can just hijack the show and leave me and James going, wait, where are we? What? How did this happen? Oh, everybody's got to have their trademark.
Yes.
All right, so I'm sure you guys caught this, but we're getting... actually, let me backtrack. When you heard that the Darth Vader series by Kieran Gillen was being axed, put to sleep. I mean, you must have been as crestfallen as I was.
I don't know, Rob, I don't know if you want to take that one.
Okay, sure, yeah. Sorry for the editing there, Kyle. I was, because the main run was great. Star Wars has been, it's been pretty good because they've been able to slip away from the main arc at times. So it keeps you, it's not just following the same characters and running through, and then you had this Vader arc, and it was, and then Vader down when they crisscrossed. It was just that Vader down to me was awesome. Like, it was just all sorts of fantastic, and then shortly after it just ended, and it was kind of and I thought, okay, they got the 25, I get it,
nice round number,
but if they're still pumping out content, like, you have all these other books coming out, like, why'd you cut that one? Like, why did that one end? Was it a? I don't know. I assumed it was a contract thing. I was upset about it. I wanted to see it continue, but
yeah, you know. I mean, I think we all kind of had the same reaction and made our peace with it. But now we don't have to sulk anymore. We're getting volume 2.
Yay!
He's back. Maybe they realized, like, geez, this is bad. We need to have a Darth Vader title. I don't know if this was the plan all along. I think typically in comics they'll say, oh no, this was definitely the plan all along.
Right,
but I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked to learn that they axed Darth Vader, and then realized later on that, you know what, having a Darth Vader title is really good for sales. So let's do another one.
I mean, it got to 25, so that makes me wonder it might have been the plan, because that seems like you said, a pretty solid number, whereas what happened with Kanan, it got to 12 and they canceled it. So that one, I think, it might have been a little unplanned, but who knows, like you said.
Yeah, I know what the Kanan, I think he had the first five done and contracted, the writer, and then his name escapes me at the moment, but
Weissman?
I think so, yeah. And then they picked it up, and then they said, oh, you're going to write some more. And he was very, oh, right on, and they just tapered off, and then, oh, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another bummer, because that was one of my favorite series, and one of the better series, I think.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you wanted to go here just yet, but, like, you want to stick on the Vader, or do you want to talk about the different...
Yeah, well,
series that are
I guess we'll just quickly go talk about this Vader Volume 2 from Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camuncoli. You guys are both comic book readers, so I assume you're familiar with the work of both of these guys. Rob, are you familiar with either of these guys?
It sounds familiar, but again, me and names is horrible.
You just open it.
I'm lucky if I get mine right, and there's three different ways to say mine. So,
well, Charles Soule, I like. Who is it? What was the other name?
The artist is Giuseppe Camuncoli. I know him from Amazing Spider-Man in the last few years.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But yeah, who doesn't know Charles Soule?
Yeah, I actually just got into another one by him called Curse Words.
Okay.
I forgot the company. It might be the ones that do Walking Dead. But it's pretty much just about like a wizard in New York. And it's just the artwork's really cool. It's funny. It's very tongue in cheek. He kind of just comes in and he's like a wizard for hire. There's a broader arc about like the world he comes from, but he's kind of like he honestly looks like a wizard if he was a biker. He's got like gray hair, slick back, long beard, and just kind of like a badass biker wizard.
Like but Gandalf meets Sons of Anarchy,
you know, doing dealings with people in New York, and he's got like a high rise office, and it's so bizarre, but it's really cool. So I really do like the way he writes his stories, and he does Poe Dameron, right?
Yep,
and he did. Chewbacca, though, but I wasn't too crazy about the Chewbacca series. But
was that him?
I guess that was... Wasn't that Charles Soule?
I think so. Maybe it was.
I think so.
He did do Lando, and he did...
Maybe that's what I'm
Obi-Wan
thinking.
Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. But either way...
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But what you were saying there, Steve... This is where I'm torn, and I didn't want to jump off in here right away. Lando... Well, for me, I know it was the first one that came out aside from the Star Wars proper, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was awesome. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to buy it. I'm a Star Wars fan. I buy comics. Well, I'm going to read it. And then I was actually, oh my God, this is great. Like I liked it. And I was entertained by it. And I wasn't like, okay, I'm reading this because I'm a Star Wars fan. I have to. No. And then, so I loved Lando, and then, Poe Dameron, I'm still reading it, but between us and everybody listening, if it wasn't Star Wars, I would probably would have dropped it. You know what I mean?
I have dropped it.
Oh, okay. You did. You go. See, I was trying to make this big confessional thing.
No, I did make the drop. It was getting a little bit too weird. That giant egg thing with those beasts inside it. It didn't fit. It didn't fit for me. It violates my idea of what Star Wars is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And my time is short, and I'm sorry, but I'm not reading this.
Okay. Okay. Well, Steve, you've read both, or what do you think? Are we opposite, or are we same? Or...
I mean, I kind of like the weird. I mean, sometimes I could tell if it doesn't fit the lore of the story, but sometimes I kind of just go for the ride.
Right.
And I mean, I enjoy it though. I like the artwork. The art is great. I like the tie in. I mean, I like the little hints to Force Awakens. I think I'm not 100% up to date, but I think Phasma's coming in pretty soon, if I'm not mistaken. She popped in at the beginning a little bit. And I just like that little stuff. The mentions of Snoke, and I eat that.
And
up.
Again, maybe that's just me being not as, like, I loved Force Awakens, the movie, but maybe I'm just not as familiar with or not engrossed with the characters enough as I am. When you pop in Lando and boom, you're right there. You got these stealing the Emperor's ship and he's got his sidekicks and everything else and he's ready to go. And like, I'm right there. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I got it. Maybe it's just because this is, I think, Poe Dameron, like, it's the first comic touching The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. this new area we're in. So maybe it's just me being fickle about fitting it into the lore.
I mean, I'm also a completionist, so I'm having a hard time dropping anything.
I would never. Yeah,
you know, like, I'm having a hard... I mean, like, I might not get to something right away. Like, Han Solo's still sitting here. I want to get to it. I don't know why it's taking me this long. I just, you know what, I read more than just the Star Wars stuff, so it kind of all gets backed up.
I do too. Actually, I'm getting a lot of crap from Troy he's a DC guy. Tim in the nerd room. He's every time I make my weekly polls, mm-hmm. and then I post them, and Steve, I should tag you in them next week, because every week I'm like, hey, here's my weekly polls. And he gives me crap. Tim goes, well, where's all the Marvel? I'm like, well, there's a couple there's a Star Wars in there. I'm like, no, Marvel's fallen off the map for me. And since the DC rebirth, I'm like, okay, it's just occupied a lot of my pull list.
Right, right.
And I'm like yourself, I'm a completionist too, so I can't really, once I'm 10 deep, I'm in, like, whether I like it or not. if they stink up my long box, that's fine. Like, I have to have them and I got to get through them. It's hard to explain with the Marvel and the Star Wars. It's just there's really doing it right. And then, like you said, the Poe Dameron, the art I loved. It's completely different from the other ones. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that comic book-y. It almost has that like a native feel about it.
Right, right.
Like a lot of clays. But it just, I don't know. I just, like, Kyle said, it's just weird for me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I do like what they're doing as far as like the Lando, the Leia. I think it's a really interesting format, what they're doing with the different miniseries touching on all these characters. So, I mean, I think that's something that they've definitely got going just in general.
Yeah. We'll circle back to all this stuff once we start getting into our favorite series. But the new Vader that's coming, Charles Sewell is kind of approaching it the same way that Frank Miller approached Batman Year One. So how cool is that? Darth Vader Year One is the way we kind of can be expecting this to come down. That's got to be cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, it picks up right after Episode 3, I read, right?
Correct, yeah.
Like immediately after.
Immediately after.
So that's pretty awesome.
This is gonna be really, really cool. Just because we forget that when we drop off Darth Vader in Revenge of the Sith, he's got no red lightsaber. He doesn't have it yet. So part of one of the first arcs, or it may even be the first arc if I'm not mistaken, is going to be Vader chasing down a crystal and building his new saber. That's going to be awesome because kyber crystals have been a focus. Rob, you're into the Ahsoka novel. Yep. You're going to get to that if you haven't yet. And, you know, Clone Wars gave us a dose of kyber crystals. Rogue One did it too. Certainly Catalyst. So it'll be interesting finally to get a Sith's viewpoint, which is going to be great. But as far as I know, a Sith's crystal only comes from stealing a Jedi's or taking a fallen Jedi's crystal.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's the red comes from a bending of the
breaking the crystal's will. They call it a process called bleeding.
Right.
So I think again, in old legends, they used to make their own synthetic red crystals, and I think that's kind of been brushed aside. So it'll be really cool to see where does this crystal come from, and I guess this is a good place to interject here with Mark from Talk Star Wars, who has a quick question for us. So he says, with news of a new Darth Vader comic series starting in June, and word that part of that story will be Vader building his red lightsaber, I wanted to ask you guys how you think Vader gets the red blade. Does he make a synthetic crystal? Does Pal Pacino give him the red crystal? Will he defeat a Jedi and bleed the crystal and keep it as his own? As always, I'm keen to get your take on this juicy element of new canon. Keep up the great work, guys. Long live the Star Wars Commonwealth. Thank you, Mark. So, Rob, since you're into the Ahsoka book, I will I'll let you take a kick at this first. Where is Vader going to get this crystal from?
He's gonna get the crystal from a fallen Jedi. Like, and there's thousands of them around at the time. Like, they just had Order 66.
There's some stragglers.
There's probably a lot of sabers lying around.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be anticlimactic if he just waltzes into the Jedi temple and picks one up off the floor, cracks open the Jedi lightsaber, and yanks out the crystal. That's kind of boring.
Well, but maybe not there. But Dr. Apra, have you guys read that one?
I have
or
not.
Or up to date?
Not up to date yet, no.
Okay. Well, just I'm not going to give anything away, but in this last issue, they got to a Jedi temple and there was a bunch of Jedi lying around, their dead skeletal remains, and she actually takes a lightsaber. And her dad's like, "What are you doing?" She goes, "What? You forgot who I am?" Like, she's like a artifact thief. Like, so so that was actually kind of done. So I can't see them repeating that.
Right.
Or maybe with Vader, because it's actually two comics, and they will meet up again, and Dr. Apra is a spinoff of the Vader comic. So he might say that's where he gets his crystal, but I think the more of the story is going to be how he bends it to be the Sith saber.
Yes. Steve, have you got a theory on this?
I mean, I'm definitely in the camp that he's not going to create one. He's going to bleed one. Because I know fans have been clamoring for that story of Vader hunting down any remaining Jedi. And I feel like this year one is really going to give us a chance to see that. So I think, you know, that like the first arc, whatever it might be, maybe he's following the Emperor's orders to track down maybe a particular Jedi. It can kind of be like a mission by mission thing. And maybe that's the one. I don't know, because I definitely agree that I don't think he's just going to, you know, find one, pick it up, and that's it.
Nope.
I think it's definitely going to be after killing one, for sure. I think that's, you know, makes for more dramatic storytelling. And I think it's definitely something that the fans want to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would love to see Vader, without a lightsaber, have to track down a Jedi on the run. So one of the I don't know how many people have thought of this, but Luminara Unduli is out there. We know that she survived initially. We see her remains in Star Wars Rebels in season one. I wonder if she's in there because she's the one that Vader captures and he takes her lightsaber. I think she could be one option.
That's a pretty, well, again, you're looking at the comic book reader, so I think they can take liberties with their deep cuts, because they know they already have, okay, if you're reading the comics, you're probably watching all the animated series and seeing all the movies, obviously. You can't kind of do it reverse. You can't, like, throw stuff from the comics into a movie and make it huge plot points, because people are like, wait, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. But in the comics, you can do it. You can make those deep cuts. So possibly, I think they're probably going to steer clear and make it all nice and fresh, but I don't know.
Yeah, it could also, it could be just an unknown Jedi, right? That Palpatine gets a tip that some Jedi hanging around in blankety blank system, go hunt them down. And he'll go. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how Vader deals with a Jedi when he has no lightsaber to fall back on.
I think it might just make the storytelling a little cleaner if you do it that way, with like a fresh start, because then you kind of have to go back and, you know, re-explain the connections and who was where, what, you know, when. And
yeah.
So I think we're all in agreement then. He's going to defeat a Jedi on the run and bleed that Jedi's crystal and make it his own.
Yep. Like I said, I think the story will be the actual, they'll answer the lore of how they're going to do this, like, forgetting about legends, how they're going to make a Sith red saber. and have it on.
Yeah, they and they have to make it challenging too, because if this is going to kind of mirror your Batman Year One in a lot of ways, Batman gets his ass kicked a lot in Year One. So I wonder if Vader, we're going to see a Vader struggling as a Sith Lord with these new rules that he has to live under, and definitely struggling with this suit. I can totally picture him really having a difficult time, but ultimately getting the job done.
Yes, right. Something that actually just occurred to me, just visually speaking, about this Year One. You know, everyone loved the image of Vader in the Bacta tank in Rogue One. So I'm definitely hoping we get maybe a little more of that. You know, explanation of why he has to be in the Bacta tank, and you know, they might kind of explain the effects that this like transformation had on him. So,
did any of you guys read the Vader book from Legends? I wasn't expecting to talk about Legends. That's why
It was just called Darth Vader, right?
Yeah, it was just and basically it just tells a story about him as soon as he becomes Vader.
Yeah, so there was James Luceno,
right? That's it. Yeah, he's dealing with the suit and he's dealing with the pain he's in. And he's dealing with this new reality of his.
Yeah, no, I think Luceno had kind of written a trilogy. He had done the General Grievous book, which was the prelude to the Revenge of the Sith novelization, and then followed up with Darth Vader. And I have all three of those somewhere in the house. And yeah, they were all great.
Yeah, but that's something that Vader, maybe they'll have the new canon. This is how Vader's, this is his new reality. This is his new dealing with life in the suit. And like you said, Steve, maybe he needs to spend time in a Bacta tank. And that's what people are making the excuse with the New Hope pathetic lightsaber duel. Vader and Obi-Wan. Well, not pathetic, but
no, it's pathetic.
Comparatively. Yeah, no kidding. And they're saying, and now they're saying, well, maybe Vader, because he was going, he didn't stop to recharge in the Bacta tank or plug in. He found an iPhone outlet or something or a charge station, and he was just a little slow.
Well, there's two edges to that sword, and we're going to see the other side of it this Saturday on Rebels. We're going to see Obi-Wan go at it with Maul. And I'm going to assume that, you know, we know Maul is up to snuff. He still has all his skills. Now, does Obi-Wan have all his skills?
Yep.
He shouldn't, based on what we see 2 years later along their timeline. Yep. He really shouldn't.
And what about the Sith? They're not Sith, but they're the...
the Inquisitors?
What are Inquisitors, right?
Yes, yeah. Inquisitors. Sorry. Yeah, just let mine again. They all have sabers, too. Are they a different kind, or are they the Walmart brand compared to the real deal?
Yeah, they didn't really explain where they got those lightsabers, huh? I don't remember.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, if they're going to make a meal in the comic about putting a saber together.
I think the crystals are more or less, you know, generic, stolen from the Jedi Temple type things, but the sabers themselves, I guess they can build whatever they like, because I think all of the lightsabers are identical. They all kind of do that spinning thing.
Yep.
Right.
They're a bit ridiculous, but they're going to pop up as well in Vader Volume 2, which is going to be really cool. Like, this is going to touch the original trilogy. It's going to touch the prequels. It's going to touch Rebels. It's probably going to snake its way into the Clone Wars.
Yep.
This is going to be really cool, guys. I can't wait for this book.
Well, I think what you're saying too, Kyle, it gives us that, oh, we really like this series, the first volume, and now we're getting, oh, it's not over. And of course it's Vader. Like, it is Star Wars. Like, the whole Anakin arc was six movies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and everything kind of changed. Everything sort of warps our view of Vader a little bit. As kids growing up watching Vader, he was just this absolute domineering villain. He was just this monolithic black figure that was just pure intimidation and terror.
Yep.
But now we're going to see him, you know, as they describe, he doesn't know. He's unsure of himself. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He doesn't know if he's going to be alive in 2 days or 2 weeks or in 40 years. He doesn't know what his day-to-day life will be like, what his purpose is like. So he's trying to wrap his mind around all that. And he's still trying to come to terms with losing Padme and what happened there.
Yep.
So we're gonna get a totally different view of Vader again.
Yeah. Well, like Steve was mentioning with the back to tank too, like I think we talked about this on the roundtable, Kyle. How great would it have been to see Hayden Christensen in that tank?
Yeah.
On Rogue One.
I missed opportunity even just, there.
Even just a don't say anything. just have his face in there. You know?
Yeah, I think right, that was right, a missed right. opportunity. So finally, before we get off this, and we'll get into our main topic, but Steve, this is going to be up your alley. Charles Sewell said he's trying to write Vader almost like Jason in Friday the 13th. As a horror fan, that's going to make you excited.
That's awesome. I mean, yes. yeah, I mean, because Vader really is, you know, outside of horror, he is, wildly, like you're saying, like one of the more terrifying villains outside of that genre. And you know, and he really is best as like a,
like a relentless hunter, right?
Right, like yeah, like a relentless hunter. I forgot the actor that who was the one in the bodysuit, the one that actually
Dave Prowse.
I was just listening to a podcast that was like they spent like a whole half hour talking about just his physical acting, and you know he just created such a menacing stance and walk. So, I mean, I think that'll translate very well into comics, you know, cause I think Rob, you were saying with Lords of the Sith, how the action didn't quite translate.
Yeah.
So I feel like comics tends to be where, you know, if you're not going to do it in the animation or the movies, comics really makes for perfect visuals. I mean, it's a visual medium.
Of course.
So I think that menace, it's prime, it's ripe for, you know, the comics.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was. I review Dr. Apra for the talkstorewars.co.uk, and we and I make mention as too the artist. I really like how the artist and the writer, when the panel can say everything that needs to be said, he lets it say everything that needs to be said. He doesn't have to put in the zap, pow, zang, or just some. Or anything in a bubble. It's like, just let the art speak for it. And I think what you're getting at, like with that Lords of the Sith, and like it's probably right on the money. I can imagine, again, looking back at Rogue One, that final scene with Vader when he's just tearing through the rebels. Mm-hmm. That is a Jason with a machete scene.
Right.
Like the big bad end of the movie, slice, 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 slice. Okay, there's a little force involved, but you mean like it's. It's ominous. It's terrifying. It's that everybody was so like, that's Vader. That's the badass we want. You know?
Right. I mean, it was a better version of Jason X, if you guys seen that one.
Yes.
Jason in space. I mean, Vader is Jason in space, but.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that YouTube video? It's of the music in that scene where Vader is turning everybody into dog food. Have you seen the clip of the music in that scene?
No.
So this is fascinating. This kind of thing blows my mind. If you listen, you'll have to check this out for yourselves after. It's mind blowing. I'm telling you. If you take that music and speed it up twice, it's the Imperial March.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Check it out after. There's a sort of side by side thing. It's amazing. Like you would never pick it up on your own. But then when you see it on YouTube, when they speed it up, it's Imperial March. And you go, holy shit, that is so cool.
Well, that's getting the viewer on a different level, too. That's hearing that for the last 30, 40 years, and then now it's there, but you're subconsciously aware of it, but you're not.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to the person who discovered that. Because I mean, that's on the level of Palpatine's theme being in the parade. At the end of the Phantom Menace.
Yep.
That's on that level. That's when I first heard that, I was like, whoa, that John Williams, you're a genius. And now Michael Giacchino kind of gets the same feather in his cap.
There you go.
All right. Well, there's a tangent for you.
Yeah. I think we covered everything in every medium possible.
Yeah.
On Journals of the Willing.
All right, so guys, we're not going to get into anything ultra specific here. I just wanted to chat generally about the Star Wars comics under the Marvel imprint up to now, And we can spend a few minutes before we get into that. Sort of give the Cool Notes version, Steve, of your history as a comic book reader. When did you start? What were you reading? And what are you up to now?
I actually did not start reading comics until around the end of high school. And the only reason I got into comics was because Joss Whedon was continuing Buffy the Vampire Slayer. and he did like a season 8 for Buffy, and then they did continuations of Angel. That's really kind of like got me initially into comics. You know, I liked Marvel movies and DC movies, but I just never really read them growing up. Either just my parents didn't take me to the stores, my friends didn't read them. So it really wasn't just part of my, you know, my growing up. And it wasn't really until college, after I had been reading Buffy and Angel for a while, that I got more into like The Walking Dead, and other little stories. I got into manga a little bit. And then it wasn't until really Star Wars, you know, Marvel had taken over Star Wars, did I kind of go headfirst into having a pull list and all of that. It kind of just, I became an addict from that. yeah, you know, because I never was into the Dark Horse stuff. Actually, Rob, I never read Legends or any of that. So I'm totally new to all of that. So, you know, the Marvel Comics was really my first dive into the expanded universe for Star Wars.
So are you a Marvel guy now? You do some Image stuff, and you're a bit into, you're doing the Star Wars stuff, but are you into like Marvel or DC superheroes at all?
I started to pick up a little more Marvel. I was on vacation last month, and I really love Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie. So I wanted to go back, and I started reading, I think it was like 2008, Bendis, I forgot the guy's name. But
Bendis, yeah.
Yeah, Bendis. So I started reading the Bendis arc, and then over at the Nerd Room, they were telling me I should go back even further, because there's like a whole lead up to that arc, for the, I'm blanking on it. But yeah, so I'm kind of slowly, then there's a Star-Lord, Gamora, I started reading those. So that's pretty much it for Marvel. For DC, embarrassingly so, I love Aquaman.
Hey, what's wrong with Aquaman?
People tend to, you know, he's the butt of most of the jokes. With DC,
he is.
But
it's the gold sequence. I mean, let's be honest.
But I don't know, I saw the cover art for the New 52s for Aquaman. And I started reading it. And what was great with the New 52s was, you know, they were re-explaining the origins, and they really made him a badass. So I really fell in love with the character there.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, I have the first 18 or 20 issues from that New 52 thing. And you're right, that series, that run of Aquaman, I forget who wrote it. I'm kicking myself now, but it was fantastic. Jeff Johns?
Jeff Johns, I think so, yeah.
Okay, so no wonder it was so good. But the art was fantastic too. I think Rod and Ivan Reese, I think, were on the art for that. It was fantastic. I had never read Aquaman. And I would make fun of him too up to that point. But yeah, mm-hmm. No, you're right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I mean, just the character development. I just love the way they played, you know, Man of Sea and Land. Where did he belong? There was like this very...
It was very cinematic.
Cinematic. There was almost like a Luke Skywalker quality to him too, in a way.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, just kind of like that, you know, a young, because they flash back a lot. So it was kind of like that young hero journey a little bit for him. But anyway, so Aquaman, then I got into Midnighter because I was just trying to support LGBT heroes in my reading, because you don't really get a lot of that, you know, and you know, as a gay comic reader myself, it's just like kind of gravitate towards it. So I, you know, Midnighter, he only ran about 12 issues, and then they did a mini series with him and Apollo. So I read that. Big Power Ranger nerd growing up, so I read those comics. And
you're a total comic book nerd now.
I'm in, yeah. So just all different angles: Star Wars, Power Rangers, just all over.
Yeah, it's good to have tentacles into all the different sort of possibilities. Rob, I you've been a long time reader, I suppose. So,
hey, well, yeah, I am late 70s, early 80s. Okay, we're going back. I loved Marvel. Spider-Man was my jam back then, and it was just always liked Superman. But when you're a kid, it's basically whatever your parents got for you. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't. I didn't have a pull list back then. I didn't have anything. It was just like if I was out with my mom and it was at eye level, and if I looked at it hard enough and hope she got it for me. And you know what I mean, like that's what you read, basically. Again, like Steve, I got back walking into comic book stores when the Star Wars Marvel came out. You know, like I've always had an interest. I read them. I was more of a trade paperback guy. But as far as getting into my weekly pull list, that's when once the new Star Wars hit Marvel, I said, okay, this is something I need pulled. And okay, that was weird. But if
this is not the Roman Podding Cast.
No, it's not. No. So, but it was actually, okay, no, this is something I don't want to wait for the trades to come out. This is something I need right away. Like Star Trek, the ongoing from IDW. I have all the trade paperbacks for the ongoing series. I loved it. I thought it was great. It gave me they did a lot of different stories to the Star Trek universe from the TOS days, and now it's the new crew from the Abramsverse or the Kelvin timeline, and this is their take on those stories. So that was cool. I got all the trades there, and then like I said, once Star Wars hit Marvel, I was like, okay, this is something I need. When it comes out, I don't want to wait and get it spoiled. I want to read it as they come out. And of course, probably like you, Steve, once you're in there, oh, what's this book? Oh, what's this book? And then it just snowballs. Right. Currently, my pull list has a lot of DC Rebirth because that hit about a year after the Star Wars run started hitting. Everything Marvel's put out for Star Wars since they've taken over after Dark Horse, I've bought at the day, pretty much the day or I had it on the pull, in a pull file the week it's come out. DC Rebirth, Superman, Batman Detective, Action Comics, of course, that's getting close to 1,000, so that's, they're gearing it up for something big there. What else? Nightwing, that was a surprise for me this year. It was one of those ones that I was like, oh, I'll read it and give it a chance, and it was like, oh, wow, this is one of the better ones. This is like, it was like the Lando surprise. Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a gap in your collecting? Like, you collected as a kid, but did you ever stop through your teens?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I was in high school in the 80s. Like, we're talking 16 Candles, you know, in the Brat Pack. Comics were just not – it was, like, definitely not at the forefront of my mind. And, again, I didn't have a local shop down the road. I mean, I was raised in Sudbury, Ontario. We did have a comic shop, but it was, like, 30 minutes from where I lived. And as a teenager, just you had better things to spend your money on. Yep. You know?
Yeah, my story kind of imitates both of yours. Like, Rob, I come at it from the same perspective where I remember being a kid in the early, mid-80s. And, yeah, if I could con my mom or my grandma to giving me 35, 45 cents, maybe a dollar, I would just take two random comics off a rack.
Yep, exactly.
Sometimes they would say, here you go. I bought these at the store for you. I remember my first comic or one of them. I remember my grandmother came over and gave me six or seven of them, and among them was Star Wars 97. So just as the first Marvel series was getting close to wrapping up. And so I got into comics up until maybe 1990 or so, when I was 91, when I was about 12 years old, 12, 13, 14 years old in there. And all the best creators were leaving Marvel, where I was reading Amazing Spider-Man and X-Men. And they all started jumping over to Image, doing their own thing there.
Right.
And then the industry kind of collapsed, and I said, forget it. I don't like this anymore. I'm going to do this new thing called hockey cards and baseball cards, which I'd been doing anyway. But once you hit teenage years, your parents are like, you want to do this? Do it yourself. And then you realize you have no money. So I had to choose. So I chose hockey cards and baseball cards for the next few years, and I was out of comics entirely. Until, Steve, this is where it picks up on you, the new 52. Mm. And I heard that, wow, they're relaunching all that stuff? Well, that seems like a neat idea to jump back in. Oh, and Jim Lee is at the head of this? He was my favorite back in the day. I love Jim Lee. So that's what pulled me back in. It was actually DC, and I had like 15 or so of the new 52s on my pull list, which I slowly chopped down over the years And then, of course, Marvel did their own thing with Marvel Now. And fast forward to Star Wars jumping in on the Marvel side. And I haven't bought all of them, but I had the Darth Vader run. I'm up to date on the Star Wars run. I've got bits and pieces of Poe Dameron, Han Solo. I never got into Lando or Obi-Wan, but so Steve, what were your expectations for this as a whole once we knew that Star Wars was leaving Dark Horse and coming back over to Marvel?
I guess because I hadn't read it before, I didn't really have a lot of expectation going into it. It was more so an excitement for the expanded universe, because this was really, like I said, like my first jump into that. I didn't have any expectations as far as comparing it to what it would be. So I couldn't say if I was worried it was going to Marvel or excited it was going to Marvel. I was just excited that it was happening.
Period.
It's just in general. Yeah.
Rob, were you sort of giggity, like fangirl flailing like I was?
Yes. Well, yeah, because and again, that's what I said. That's what pulled me back into the store. Like I wasn't going to wait for the trades to come out on these things. So that's what got me into getting a pull list together. And then, of course, I expanded from there. But my excitement was, okay, every comic that's going forward is now new canon. Now, I wasn't happy with losing Legends, but once I got over that, I was like, okay, now everything I read, I'm going to be completely up to date. Now I can honestly say, as of today, I have read every canon Star Wars comic. You know, so I know what's going on. It's almost like getting in on the ground floor, where it's like, if you've seen the Clone Wars and Rebels, you've seen every canon animated. You're right up to date. Like it's easy to make sense of everything in your head. It's not like I'm missing, oh, I didn't read something in the late 80s and I didn't read something here. It's like, here's a brand new shot to start brand new. And
there's something very satisfying about that, right? To know that there's not a piece that has gotten by you.
Well, that's like Steve, I'm a completionist too. Like I think we talked about this on Tumbling Saber, where I haven't gotten into Funko Pops because if I start pulling that string, that's not stopping. Like I'm,
Charlie's not going to college if you pull that string.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and it's, and exactly like when we're all adults and once you're not a starving student and I'm not a millionaire, but I have adult money. I don't need to be dropping, like it would just go so fast. Like, I don't know where it would end. Like there's disposable income and there's disposing your income. Like, but I was super excited. I'm very lucky. I do comic book reviews. I mostly just cover the Star Trek Boldy Go for the GWW.com. And through them, I'm blessed. I get watermarked PDF copies of everything the week before it comes out, except for Marvel. Marvel holds everything to the chest. Like they don't let anything out, which is, it's not, yeah, I don't get it early, which is fine. I'm going to buy it anyway, but it kind of gives me that window where I can review the Star Wars Marvel books with Mark on the Talk Star Wars site, because I'm not getting, I'm buying my own source. I'm not like I'm getting one site's PDFs to write a review for somebody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the streams don't cross. Like anything I do with the GWW.com, they're great. And like I said, if I can read anything, and sadly I don't take advantage of that as much as I should. I don't know if that's me being wanting to. I like the tactile, holding the comic book, reading it. When I do write the reviews for the Star Trek stuff, I do obviously download the PDF and read it and write it, so that way it's ready to go.
Once the book drops, it's on ready. Wednesday, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now with the Marvel reviews, I got to wait till Wednesday, like everybody else, read it, and then try to write up the review and get it out as fast as I can.
Yeah, there's no pressure there, right?
No, of course not. No, it's all fun though. And again, like what is it? Oh, poor me! I got to hurry up and read a book or comic, and then write about it, and then blog about it.
First world problems, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, so Steve, looking back now, we've been at this Marvel thing for a couple of years now. We touched on Vader Down, so let's exclude that from this, because I think for all of us, it's kind of, if not the high point, it's certainly in the top two or three. But what are some of the best things to you about this new Marvel canon comic thing?
For one, the connectivity of it. Is that a word? Connectivity? Connectedness of it?
Sure. we'll just say it's Canadian.
Sure. We'll go with that. You know, because it does feel, you know, while it's part of the Star Wars universe, you know, the comics do feel like they are touching on each other, and they are kind of creating almost their own mythos in a way, even though, you know, it's all connected. But, you know, I love how the Star Wars title and the Darth Vader title are running concurrently, or were, and the crossovers, and I love getting the deeper development. And I think that's really, you know, you get it in the novels, but, you know, to see it visually and get the character development for both Vader, for Luke, and, you know, for example, like, I don't remember hearing a lot of talk about the Princess Leia miniseries. I personally really liked it. I loved the whole idea of her going back and tracking down the remaining
Alderaanians.
And I thought that was really cool. And it kind of gave her like an emotional tie to that event, because we didn't really get much of that in A New Hope.
Nothing.
It was very, very quick. It was so quick. You couldn't really grieve the loss of her people. So what I love about the series is that we're getting a chance to get into those emotions. And while the characters were fantastic to begin with, you know, they are much more fully realized, I think.
Rob, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pleasantly surprised with Leia. Again, I was like thinking, oh, I'll pick it up. Like, obviously Star Wars, you got me. It's like, I mean, and I liked the way it treated it, the characters as comic characters. A lot of times, Wonder Woman's done this a few times, where it's gone, okay, you have a female character, let's gear this toward a female reader. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, here's Leia. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Here's the main characters. Here's her sidekick, and they're going on an adventure, and they treated it like it was just unisex, and it was great, because it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Here's our heroes. Let's just get on with the story.
Yeah, and
if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
100%.
The standout for me, there are two things for me that have not been mentioned. So Steve, I totally agree that finally seeing Leia grieve over the loss of Alderaan and you know, tracking down the few survivors from that planet, that was fantastic. Having her return to Naboo to try and sort of connect with her mom on some level, and her feeling Maul's presence. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a neat, like, you used the word connectivity. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But overall, I really loved Terry Dodson's rendition of Leia, especially on the cover art. Like, I thought he just nailed her. I love that look of Leia that he was able to put together for her. Just amazing.
Well, what you're saying there, Kyle, too, well, like you said, that one, you just brought it back to mind when you turn the page and you see that Maul's eyes, and you know, when you're saying when she felt Maul, like that connectivity, like, it was just, it's awesome. I was like, that was one of those panels you just look at and go, oh my God, like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, they're paying attention. They're putting it together. They're paying attention to the details.
Yep.
Did anybody else think that the Yvonne character, does anybody else think that that might be the Laura Dern character from The Last Jedi? Or does the timing not line up there?
I'm thinking of age-wise. How old do you think she was in the Leia comics?
If she's like, in and around the same age as Leia, she'd be early 20s.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess it really would match up with Laura. I forget how old Laura Dern is, but
she might be 50. Maybe early 50s, late 40s. It could. The age could line up.
It could. Yeah. No, it could. I think that'd be interesting. Because we still have absolutely no idea what kind of character Laura Dern could be playing.
Yeah, I mean, the only reports out there are saying that she's an officer either with the Resistance or with the Republic. And she's kind of at odds with either Leia and or Poe at some point in the movie. But it could be Yvonne. She struck me as, at least from the comic, as a tall blonde, which fits Laura Dern.
Right, right. And it would give them an opportunity to really, you know, solidify the comics as being important. You know, really, yep. You know, because I think, well, obviously they brought in Saw Gerrera from the Clone Wars into the novels, mm-hmm. into the movies. So they're kind of starting to work their way, rather than movies down, novels and comics coming back up with the cartoons. So yeah. It would give them an opportunity to do more of that, which I would love. And I think fans who love that connectedness would enjoy that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I Mark and I were talking about that too. We were mentioning, it's in the past. It's like you said, Steve, it's always been movies. Okay. Now we're going to spin off a comic of this little side character. Now we're going to have a little animated show about this one line in New Hope. Now we're going to have this, and like everything was spun off from the movies. And now, like you said, like, it's the reverse. It's the animation, the animated shows. It's the comics, the books that are feeding the movies with extra characters and extra things. Like it's the river's flowing, yeah, the opposite way for some reason. And it's awesome. And it's awesome, especially for us that are, we're totally into all the extras. So when we go see a movie, there's so much richer for us. There's a lot more tapestry for us.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and if done right, I mean, they don't need to, you know, because there's that worry that people will be confused. They're like, oh, where'd this person come from? But, I mean, if they do a good job at establishing the character, like, you know, we've had this conversation with Catalyst in Rogue One. Like, you don't necessarily need to read Catalyst to watch Rogue One. It enriches the story, but you're not lost if you don't read Catalyst. Yep. So,
yeah. And you didn't need to see Saul Guerrera in the Clone Wars to see Rogue One either.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So it can be done.
Now, do you guys feel that the writers overall might struggle to create an impactful story that is important to canon while at the same time adhering to the current timeline, the events in the timeline, and not stepping on the toes of things that might be saved for the big screen? I don't know. Does that question make sense, Rob?
Yeah. I know exactly where you're going with this. I think everybody's told, like if you're writing a comic, okay, here are the guidelines. You can't kill this person. You can't kill any of these main characters. You can't go here. You can't mention this. You can't explain. I mean, if you're doing a Leia thing, you can't be like, okay, listen, we're going to have her, we're going to have her grieve about Alderaan, we're going to have her find those survivors, but you can't mention anything. You can't have her pick up a lightsaber and just learn the Force. Like, if that's going to happen, we're saving that. Like, you can't, you mean, like, they put in that Force sensitivity where she felt Maul, that's fine, but you can't carry off of this massive tangent. We're like, whoa, how'd this happen?
Yeah, Leia's suddenly not going to submit to Jedi training with Luke or
yeah,
whoever.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sure they have a basic guideline. This is what you're allowed to do. And yeah, you can put your own touch on it and weave it in, but you can't make any drastic.
It's got to be exactly like TV writing. I mean, you get your show Bible, and then obviously you have different writers writing episodes for a TV show. They get the show Bible, they just have to adhere to it, and they can kind of play with it, you know, within those parameters.
Right.
So anything, I mean, we can keep going down any of these rabbit holes. So anything else from on the highlight side for you guys? Rob, is anything that you loved or are hoping to love?
Yeah, obviously, well, okay, we're staying away from Vader Volume 2, looking forward to that. Pleasantly surprised, Princess Leia run. I like the way they went with that. It was awesome, and I think it was just long enough. It was perfect. Lando blew me away, and I think if I heard Lando was the best thing on the planet and then read it, I would have been like, yeah, it's okay. But because I was expecting, my expectations were so low, pardon the pun. Yeah, I caught it as soon as I said it. But yeah, because they were so low that when I read it, I'm like, oh, this is actually really good. And the art's decent and this and that. Dr. Abra, that's right now it's starting to stable out a little bit. I get it. But when it came out, I'm like, for a bunch of characters that have no tie-in, like there is no Han Solo there. There is no Princess Leia there. There is no Lando hanging out with him. Like it's all, these are the new characters and this is their adventure. Like I'm hooked into it. I'm like, wow, I was pleasantly surprised with.
And I guess that's the advantage, right? Because with all the classic characters, there are sort of glass walls around them. With Aphra, there really aren't any. And maybe that's part of the hook for it.
I thought it would be too disconnected from Star Wars. And because it's a spinoff character from a comic, I didn't think I'd be into it as much as I am. So Leia, Lando, Dr. Abra, those are all thumbs up. Some of the not so awesome was Poe Dameron. I'm still into it. I'm hoping it turns around. Art's great, just not into the story. I wasn't super. Han Solo was okay, but it was just him racing around. You mean it's the Han Solo comic you want, but it was just art's great. Typical Han Solo one-liners in it. It's everything you'd want, but it just, for some reason, it was just, oh, yeah, it's exactly what I wanted and exactly what I kind of wrote in my head. So, somebody just realized it. Oh, okay. It just didn't stick out to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting it down. And again, I hate putting down anything. I mean, could these people put so much time and effort into it? And I do appreciate all of them. I'm just saying Solo, Poe Dameron, not so bad. Anakin, Obi-Wan, that was more of a adventure story. It didn't really touch on anything. It didn't have any ties to their relation. It just didn't. It was just the separate little adventure, and it just didn't tie anything in, so it was kind of disconnected.
I like the flashbacks in that, though. We did get Anakin, and I mean, it wasn't obviously not the whole run, but just those little moments.
That's what I was getting at. Like, I like those tie-ins. I like that. That's what I wanted. I didn't care if they help these people fight these people. It's like, I know they're getting out. I know they're fine. Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing to lose here. Right. But other than that, Chewbacca was, I thought they were going to have the thought bubble with him actually writing out what he was saying. Kind of like they would do with an R2-D2, you know what I mean? Like, but they actually, his speech bubbles were rah, 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 and it was like, okay, it was perfect. It couldn't go any longer, but it wasn't bad. Right. It wasn't awesome, but it was like, considering what they were dealt, it was pretty decent. Like, but again, nothing.
That's the one probably disappointment's too strong a word, I think. Because again, like you said, Rob, I don't want to crap on these people because they do have limits to what they can do. But like Chewbacca's my guy. And so I was hoping for a big story about Chewbacca. And instead it was okay.
Yeah.
The one scene that I really wanted to see, which I guess didn't fit the tone of the book, which was very light and funny at times, I think was in issue 5, where he just rips apart a couple of TIE fighter pilots, I think. In the end.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to see that. Instead of you just kind of hear the struggle off. You can tell it's going off on the side of the panel.
But it almost felt like somebody was messing with us, going like, these Star Wars fans, they're buying up all these books. They sold out Lando, for Christ's sakes. Oh, let's do Chewbacca. Oh, we're going to actually get to see what he's going to say. No, I'm just going to write.
Like for me, the Chewbacca books almost peaked at the opening crawls because they were kind of like these retconned crawls where Chewbacca was inserting himself into the story as a bigger hero.
Yeah.
Which was super funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like I said, for what it was, again, I like it. I like it all. I don't love it all, but I'm buying it all anyway. Like, I'm insatiable. I got to have it. Like, it's just, it was what it was. It was exactly what I expected. You know, Chewbacca. Like, he's made for the big screen, not for the little pages.
Yeah. So, Steve, Shattered Empire. Did you get into, were you into that four-parter?
Yes, it's been a while since I read it, but because that came out like a few, that was part of Journey to the Force Awakens, right? That was like September, you know, leading up to the movie, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know, because if, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the main characters, they were all there, but it was a little, it was more from Poe's parents' perspective.
Correct. Cherubei and, what was her father's name? Kes.
Kes, right, right.
Kes was Poe's
father. So it was interesting. It was a little, I think it fell into a little, well, not as bad as where Aftermath kind of went. You know, Aftermath, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Leia and Luke, and it ended up, they were just kind of in the interludes and the in-between stories. You know, the big reveal in that was the like, the Life Force tree, correct? I thought that was interesting.
Which they hid till episode, or the fourth issue with Luke. Mm-hmm. Where's Luke? We want Luke! Everybody wants Luke, and finally you get Luke, and he's carrying around these two little saplings. But that was interesting. The main title. We're kind of zipping along here. I wish we could stay here all night and talk about this, but we can't. But the main title has kind of undergone a bunch of creative changes over the past couple of years. John Cassaday was first on pencils, which of course you know that the series is doomed because it takes him 3 years to draw any book. But that started off with a bang. And I wanted to ask you guys, having Luke encounter Vader so soon, does that enhance or undercut their quote-unquote first meeting on the big screen in Empire? Rob, I'll ask you first.
Yeah, I think they could have stayed away from it. Again, for the reader, like, it was just, oh, awesome. Like, oh my God, there it is.
Like, for something that was kind of like, what, days or hours after they blew up the first Death Star, and now he's face to face with Vader going lightsaber battle with him? Like, that was a misstep to me.
It was reminiscent of Anakin meeting Count Dooku again, saying, my powers have doubled since the last you saw me. And it's like, and then you get the Clone Wars where they fought every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, I thought they didn't see each other between the Clone Wars movie. Attack of the Clones movie.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Revenge of the Sith. And then all of a sudden you got this all extra in there. It's like, well, oh, okay. That really took that out of it. Like, that's what I got. That's what it felt like to me anyway.
Steve, what did you think about that?
I tend to agree. I think I mostly enjoyed Vader's development and him figuring out that he is Luke's father. And I think that realized, because that revelation happened, I think, in Vader, right?
With Boba Fett,
So that wasn't in the Star Wars series itself. But I think it kind of helped gave them, because for some reason, he couldn't tell from just seeing him once. So it helped kind of explain how he figured it out. But no, I tend to agree that I think it does take away from the lead up to, you know, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, because I mean, Luke was so green at that point in the Star Wars comic that he was at virtually at the same point that when he sees him in Empire, I guess it shouldn't have that much impact. But I like having the first canonical confrontation between the two being in Empire. I thought that was a bit of a mistake. But overall, I think the main run has been quite solid right through. It's had some weird things. There was that one arc. Were they on Nal Hutta? Nar Shadda? Whatever it's called. Where Luke, Han, and Leia each had a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which I thought I thought that was a That was really goofy. I didn't think there was any need to do something like that.
Han's wife. Remember that cliffhanger? We're like, wait, what? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that could have went either way, right? That could have been like, Han, you dog. Or, oh, it's a total scam. And so there was nothing to lose there other than introducing who turned out to be a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
Are you guys up to date? With the Star Wars title?
Yes. So the new Yoda little...
What is going on with that?
I think I read the first one of New Yoda.
Yeah. The Yoda one, it's kind of reminding me of when he goes on his own little season 6 journey in Clone Wars. Like, it's his own thing. It's a little out there. I don't want to give because it is so brand new. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a Yoda thing, I guess. I don't know what else
it's very bizarre.
Yeah,
very, very bizarre. And I was really looking forward to it, how they were going to merge sort of an old Yoda adventure with Ben Kenobi's journal and how Luke was interpreting all that. And this is just, this little arc has kind of gone off the rails for me. This is kind of, I don't want to say it, but it's kind of the low point of the series for me at this point. Mm. I can't wait for them to get out of this.
I do like the standalones. I remember there was the Obi-Wan one where where he was watching Luke.
Yeah.
And then Luke had to end up bullseyeing a womp rat at like in his T-16.
Yeah, the standalone Kenobi issues for the most part have been really, really cool.
Yeah. And again, that ties us right back in. And that's probably my whole point of this podcast with my opinion. It's like anything that hooks into the movies, like, it's great. Like, anything that's when they I'm on for the ride when they go on their little tangents, but when anything that hooks me back into tying stuff in, it's like, it's I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the curse, right, of the new canon stuff, is that we almost look at them all as like little tributaries that have to feed into the main canon, i.e. the movies. They have to touch on it, otherwise we kind of get antsy and go, okay, I'm here, I'm reading it, I enjoy it, but where's the meat? How does this add to what I know from the big screen? So Steve, you were going to say something?
A bit of a side note, I guess, not a bit of a tangent, but not on that point, but, you know, I was kind of thinking about what you said with, like, Han, Luke, Leia all having lightsabers, and you kind of get these weird, you know, they don't quite feel Star Wars-y. I know you're saying the Yoda arc feels a little odd. You know, I feel like sometimes, and this is, I think this just kind of speaks to, the, you know, comic books as a medium. Because I noticed, you know, when I read the Buffy the Vampire Slayer arcs, you know, the very first season that they did post, you know, the show ending, the writers, I guess they kind of felt like they weren't tied to a TV show budget, so like they could do anything. So it got so that first season got very, very freaking weird. I mean, it had good moments, but it just went places, like Buffy and Angel having sex in the cosmos and creating an alternate world, and it was so bizarre. And then they listened to fans and they kind of grounded it for season 9, which I thought was fantastic, and they kind of put in real human issues again. But I think, you know, that sometimes happens. You can kind of see that happening throughout the Star Wars arc, you know, where in an attempt to make it interesting, you see them doing these little things like that.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's like the no holds bar. It's almost like when Star Trek had that animated series in the early 70s. And like, oh, look at it. This is animated. We can everything we've ever dreamed of doing on that low budget TV show from the 60s, we can do. They had like a 20-foot Spock. They had like all these ridiculous stuff going on. It's like, just because they could. And it's like, well, you know what? Just because you could doesn't mean you should. And like you're saying, Steve, with the comics, it's like, yeah, you know, it's because you can have a mountain pissed off at you and fighting Yoda. Like, there's no, doesn't mean we should. Anyway.
But overall, I think we're all varying degrees of happy with what we've gotten so far from the comics. Because, I mean, Marvel has put their big guns on this, from Charles Soule to Stuart Immonen on art, right across the board. They've often put some of their heavyweights, more often than not, on these stories. So we got to hope that they keep doing that, right? I think they do well as far as sales go. So as long as that keeps holds true, they'll keep doing it.
Yep. And also there is the we haven't touched on Darth Bane. Darth Maul, sorry.
Right. You're right. Darth we haven't Bane. Touched on the Darth Maul. I haven't read that. I've kind of made the decision now that any ongoing I'm probably going to buy single issues, but other than that I'm going to probably wait for trades on the rest.
Right.
So I'm going to hang on to Maul. once it gets released on trade. Is that going to be a mini series? I think it was a five-parter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a one card. Yeah, like a one shot.
We've only had the one book, but it started off okay. Good art. You know what I mean, decent story. So it's I'm looking forward to finishing.
And I think the only title we haven't touched on is the Kanan book. I mean, we touched on it ever so briefly, but that was one of my favorites for sure. I was really sad when they canceled that. I thought they did a good job, and they added a couple characters to the universe that were pretty compelling. I forget, Kazmir, I think, was Kanan's sort of cohort that he had kind of backstabbed, but who still helped him anyway. Some good characters there, and really seeing the clones, how effective they actually were before the stormtroopers were implemented at hunting down a sloppy teenage Kanan.
I think it did a great job. It answered a lot of, especially with the Rebels cartoon animated series. It answered the question. Well, I thought all the Jedis were gone. How'd this one slip through the cracks? And everybody that needed to be answered. So it was, here it is. It's almost like they were like, okay, whoa, whoa, all right, we'll answer. Here's the story. Take it, you know.
Yep. Steve, did you read Kanan?
I did, yep. And like you, I think it's probably one of my favorites. Kazmir, I think, is fantastic. I also loved, because I love that connectiveness, you know, because they brought it back to New Dawn. Sloane.
Ray Sloane, right.
Ray Sloane, who was in New Dawn, showed up at the end of Kanan.
And that was one of the prominent in the Aftermath series.
And who's been, so I thought that was when she popped up in Kanan. That was really one of the earlier instances, because Kanan ended last year. It's been a while. I feel like
it's been a while, yeah.
Time kind of blends, but that was probably one of the earlier instances of them doing that, really, within the new canon. I hopped off my chair when I read it and I turned the page. I thought it was fantastic. I was very happy with it.
Cool. So, last thing before we call it quits for tonight, where do you hope they go in the short term here? Are we looking to get out of what has primarily been the time frame of around A New Hope, slightly before, slightly after? Are you hoping we move into some other era, Steve, or do you want to just let them do what they want to do? And are there any characters that you want to see specifically put on into comics?
Well, first on the timeline, I think they gotta get out of the kind of the rebellion era for a bit. I think they're primarily there, I think, to kind of get original Star Wars fans back into it. It's familiar. So I think, you know, it makes for an easy sell. And when they're, you know, when Disney bought it, you know, they're really trying to reboot the brand. So, you know, having Rogue One and having the comics kind of stay within this original trilogy era, you know, it's a easy place to start, and it's a good place to start. But I really do think they need to start going into like the Old Republic, or, you know, prequel era. It doesn't have to go as far back as the Old Republic, but kind of exploring the universe through a different perspective. Or even if they don't jump timeline, maybe, you know, introducing some characters that we aren't quite familiar with, which they have started doing, but, you know, exploring kind of different reaches of the galaxy, I think would be nice too. You know, I'm always I'm always keen on stories of like people who aren't quite tied to the main action that's going on, and from there, kind of like, I haven't read it, but I'm totally blanking. Lost Stars. Is that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So people who are kind of experiencing it, but from a different perspective. I kind of like that. So I think they can. You know, I think they're starting. I think they'll start to.
Cool, Rob. Anything you're looking forward to or hope that they do?
I've been pleasantly surprised. Like I said, I've liked every. I know we've bashed some of the books, but I've genuinely liked everything. And I've really liked a lot of some of the other stuff. I just if they stay the course, They don't have to be too intertwined. I like how we get little tiny bits into the movies, and that's great. But just it, they're doing it well. Like I don't see anything. Even they explain 3PO's red arm and the C-3PO standalone. Like you know, like they're doing what they have to do, and they're keeping. As a comic book reader, I've enjoyed it, and as a Star Wars fan, I've really enjoyed it. If that makes any sense at all.
Absolutely. It definitely does. I mean, comics on there are a very unique medium in that it takes a good story as well as good art to actually keep you, at least keep me hooked. If one of those two things isn't there, I'm out. And I think as a visual person, if the art's not there, I'm out. I'm done.
Right.
But yeah, just to circle back, I'm hoping, this is just me, but I'd like to see a younger Count Dooku with a younger Qui-Gon at his side. I'd like to see that story tackled a little bit. And I'm expecting that as we get closer to The Last Jedi, that we'll get some kind of tie-in comic. Something. Whether it's a one-shot or a mini-series. Similar to we did Journey to the Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do a similar initiative this fall? I hope so. I would like to see something. And beyond that, I mean, things that play in the bloodline area or even in the aftermath timeline. I want to just start, yeah, like you said, Steve, I want to get away from the rebellion in the A New Hope era a little bit. I think we've been beaten over the head with that in all aspects. So, yeah, I think it's time to go. And with that, guys, I think it's time to actually end the show. So let me just thank you both for coming on and putting in some extra time here.
Of course. Thank you.
This is awesome. Actually, if I can mention, Mark and I, Mark obviously from the Talk Star Wars.
Yeah, podcast, absolutely. Plug away.
We do, I do the round table once a month. And Steve, we're going to have to get you on there.
Of course.
We'll have to. Yeah, I was hoping to get you on with Ben because from Skyhoppers, because I've had Ash with Kyle, and if I get you on with Ben, because it's your interests are a lot the same, like with the novels, and you can almost theme the show kind of thing.
Yeah.
But or something like that, like it just you know when some hosts work with other hosts, so but we're definitely gonna have to hook that up soon. I don't know what's going on this month, but we got the but I know Celebration is next month, so I know Skyhopper's crew is gonna be down there. It's gonna be a mess for a little while, but anyway, we'll definitely get you on soon. And but Mark and I are gonna venture into the have a side show, a comic Star Wars comic book show. Kind of like, you know, how the round table is once a month.
Yep.
This will be the same thing. We're going to tackle, but instead of like a big broad show, like we're doing here tonight, we'll probably, let's tackle the first five books of this series, or let's start on with, what do you think of the new Vader volume 2? Like it'll be more compressed. You mean?
Awesome. Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
when does that drop?
That's still in the works. Like I said, you don't want a crowd. I'm sure you know Kyle with the Sith the Servers and the main show and now Journals of the Willing. You don't want to feed. You guys got a great group of shows here, and you wouldn't want to. Oh, let's do a Clone Wars show. Let's do a Rebel show. There's plenty of show ideas, but you want to feed them in.
Yeah, you got to integrate them slowly. As when it makes sense, right?
Yeah. Exactly. But that is coming down the pipe. And of course, I do all my Star Wars comic book reviews on Star Wars or talkstarwars.co.uk. I'm currently reviewing every Dr. Apra, and I've started taking on the Darth Maul.
Awesome.
And I think by choice, I haven't done Poe Dameron.
And you can be reached on the Twitter machine at?
Yes, Robert MM Cass on the Twitters. And of course, I have my weekly funny show thing we do, the Roman Podcast. That's on iTunes and it's not Star Wars related, but it's a giggle. And that comes out every Wednesday at 3 p.m.
Don't sell it short. I listened to your recent one today and I was dying. dying.
Yeah, we stepped over the bounds there. There was,
yeah, you did.
You probably know exactly what I'm talking about, where I went a little too far.
It was so funny, dude. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's again, it's one of those things Roman and I, we love doing. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. It's kind of strange because we are us on that show, but we're also caricatures of us. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, there's all that low hanging fruit. You just grab it and eat it. Like, oh, they had to go there. You had to say that. Like, it was so a lot of times it's pretty obvious, but.
No, today's episode was outrageously funny. I loved it.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming on. I think we'll probably have to do this again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to get together and do months down the road when there's something more to talk about, or maybe we'll 10 issues deep in the new Vader, we'll maybe all reconvene and go, oh wow, we were wrong.
No. No, that makes
and
sense.
And again, Steve, this is awesome actually, because I've potted with Corey, Kyle, James, and now I've got Steve.
You got us all.
I got to get them all, right? There you go.
And so, Steve, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at JoangoFett.
Guys, this was great. I'm at Tumbling Saber on the Twitter machine, on Instagram and Facebook. If we can remind you to go check out the Star Wars Commonwealth on the web at StarWarsCommonwealth.com. Check out our friends at Generation X-Wing, Talk Star Wars, The Nerd Room, The Rogue Squadron Podcast, and of course, The Skyhoppers. And if you got 2 minutes to spare, an iTunes review would be fantastico. We'll read that on the show. And other than that, we'll say thanks to Mark for his question this week. Mark, I hope we answered it to your satisfaction, sir. Other than that, we wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Drink some green beer, but be safe. Don't drink and drive. And we will see you in episode 67. Of the Tumbling Saber podcast. Have yourselves a good weekend, and bye for now. You've been listening to Journals of the Willing from the Tumbling Saber team, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth podcast network. Learn more about the network and its members at StarWarsCommonwealth.com.